This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Liz Hudson. Liz is a brilliant entrepreneur. She's an engineer by background and then a bit marketing, spent 10 years at Cardinal Health, then started her own consulting business to private equity funds 10 years ago, often around product development, looking at supply chain, trying to figure out how to develop design products, how to expand product lines, and a lot more. A lot of her roots in healthcare, but not exclusively in healthcare, and sort of a brilliant person. I want to talk to her today about what she's most focused on and excited about currently. We'll also probably ask her a little bit about women's leadership and advice for women leaders and more. Liz, can you take a moment and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your business and so forth?
Sounds great. Thanks, Scott. I'm Liz Hudson. All the things that you just mentioned, you know, we're highly focused on healthcare, private equity primarily, but also other corporations as well. And we support in the areas of product development, in strategy, mergers and acquisitions, and project management as a whole. We love to think of ourselves an extension of our clients and just love to serve however we can. So that's kind of us in a nutshell. We have a great team across the country, and we support clients around the world.
Thank you. I mean, it's really remarkable what you've built. And now we're in a current time where product expansion is very challenging. You've got to do great product expansion, great product extension that customers want, and at the same time that you could fulfill, that you could execute on. Talk about what you're most focused on and excited about currently. Where are you most focused and excited currently?
Yeah, sounds good. So definitely currently the last 6 months and the upcoming 6 months, you know, very practically and tactically, you know, we have had a lot of deal activity support going on. So mergers and acquisitions, new opportunities, and things like that. And of course, all the things that we normally do around product development and transition support as well. So very busy with all of that. I love that things are still continuing to be moving, and you know, we're not seeing any slowing at this point. And so it's been fun to be really busy with all of that. And as you alluded to, you know, one of the big focus areas in pretty much every space that I'm in, it really doesn't matter, big, small, private equity or none, is this issue that we continue to see around supply chain solutions. And so that has to do with pricing, has to do with people availability, has to do with longer lead times. And so, you know, where we find ourselves spending a disproportionate amount of time building out and planning for contingencies and things like that is all around supply chain.
And I know I saw recently an article in the Wall Street Journal, I think this morning, and we're talking July 11, 2022, about the concept of, you know, more and more people bringing manufacturing, some of the supply chain back to the United States, back to North America. What are you seeing there? I know there's a movement away from sole source on supply chain, but many places don't have a choice. If you're developing a new product line, you can't have it spread out a bunch of different places. What are you seeing in terms of people trying to manage their supply chain and reduce risk?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing that. You know, as much as it'd be nice to have manufacturing, contract manufacturing solutions around the globe, many of them are either dual sourcing, multi-sourcing, and bringing them closer to the U.S., North America, near shore, sourcing Mexico, Costa Rica, Dominican, you know, just a lot of locations closer by. And, you know, that really has a lot to do with the instability that we're seeing in the geopolitical climate. And so what that means as far as cost increases, what that means as far as like delivery timing. And so just having something that's proximate to the primary sales location, if it's in the United States, you're just seeing a lot more that's coming to North America and closer to North America.
Thank you. And you're yourself, Liz, a STEM person who has really mixed that with marketing and product development and really the combination of this STEM engineering background to go with marketing and the commercialization mindset. How did you manage to intersect those two? And any advice for young women or male professionals about how they look at their careers?
Yeah. You know, engineering was a tough major. I mean, it's one of those things that my kids ask me a lot, like, would you do it again if you had the choice? And my answer is, as tough as it was and as many times that as I wanted to throw in the towel along the way, I would do it again. I would do exactly what I did again. And I think for me, and what I recommend for those that have interest and passion in math and sciences, I love engineering as a good background and good foundation for kind of anything that you want to do. And even when I think about the other chemical engineers that I went to school with, a great many of them moved in, you know, they started maybe in some type of engineering role right out of school, but many of them went on to do things like I did, you know, moving into marketing. Some of them went into medicine or law, you know, some changed entirely, went into finance. But I love that it gives you this great foundation of problem solving and thinking. And so, like I say, if you have inclination towards math and science, and I think, you know, you have to be interested. I wouldn't push someone to do something that they don't like. Do what you like. But I do think engineering is such a great foundation for that. And, you know, I do think that when you move into other spaces, as I think about this, one of my good friends that went from engineering moved to law and then went into the FBI. I mean, it's such a great training and background for that kind of interesting thinking. And so I would certainly encourage that for anyone that has that inclination.
I mean, it really is a disciplined, rigorous background. And so even though you might not be an engineer at the FBI, it's great in discipline, rigorous thinking that could serve you well in any place, can't it?
Definitely. I think it's a great foundation for anything that you want to do next.
Now, you had mentioned you wouldn't force somebody to do it if they weren't interested in stuff like that. You know, and I came from a family and community background where my parents were very much of the mindset, well, Scott, you could do one of these three things. If you don't like it, you know, then we're not paying for school. How do you manage that parenting today in a more complex world than it was, you know, 30 years ago? My parents, you could be a lawyer, doctor, an accountant. You have your choice. You know, you can do anything you want as long as you're one of those three. And certain communities are like that. But how do you manage that today in today's bewildering world of choices? And kids not being as willing to be as to listen to their parents or the parents not being tough enough to force them to do something. What do you tell your kids on engineering versus a practical major versus something else that could be very useful as well? How do you sort of approach that with your children?
Oh, it's so hard. You know, I think there's part of me that definitely says the exact same thing my parents did, which is, you know, engineering is a great major to go into. Medicine's a great major to go into. But, you know, they also were big fans of education and, you know, developing people and things like that. So, you know, I do repeat a lot of that to my kids. At the same time, you know, you see so many people that move into spaces that they just hate. And, you know, when you look at what you're doing as far as work is concerned, you're spending so much time doing that. And so if you hate what you do, it's going to be difficult to have that motivation and excitement for what you do. I'm in a fortunate situation where, you know, I chose the major that I did, and I probably was nudge that direction partially because of my interest, partially because, you know, it's a lucrative space, partially because, you know, there was some parental and family advice that was sending me in that direction. But I did that for those reasons, and I love what I do. So I found a really great sweet spot. But you see too many people that are just in the grind, and they're doing that, and they're not as productive and synergistic as they could because they don't love what they do. And so when I think about, and even when I advise, you know, we're talking kids and we're talking, you know, mentorship and, you know, developing people, but we think about organizations and their, like how they want to grow and how they want to be great at what they do now, how they make money, right? And how do they grow and things like that. You know, we talk a lot about the intersection of, you know, what are you really good at? What are you known for? What are you special for? That's one of the three. The second thing is, you know, what are you passionate about? You know, what is that focus area, whether it's healthcare, education, or whatever that might be? That's your second thing. And the third thing is there opportunity there, right? So if you can find an offering and a group of people and an excitement and that focus and hone in on those three things together, you really find something very special that not only do you just wake up excited about what you're doing, but you also are oftentimes in a space that's very lucrative too. So I talk about that with my kids. I talk about that with people that I mentor, that if you can find those three things together, it's great. And if you can't, you want to do something that maybe isn't going to make a ton of money or ton of what, that's fine too. Just understand the choices that come with that too, as far as like what your lifestyle looks like. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, these are all choices.
But it's really a fascinating perspective, and I love this concept of what are you good at, what do you love, what is commercial value, how do you sort of match those things together for, you know, some kind of product fit with your life, your career, your business, and hopefully you're passionate about it. But it is so different than the discussion we had with our parents. You know, I'm much older than you. Mine was, you know, 30, 40 years ago. I just went to my 40th high school reunion, not to date myself. But what was fascinating about it is, like, if I had told my parents, you know, I wanted to do something I'm passionate about, I literally think my father might have hit me in the head. Might have said, you know, it would have been like I was talking to him from outer space. You know, this idea that I want to be passionate about what he's doing. His concept or my mom's concept might have been, well, you'll learn not to hate it so much if you're making a living and taking care of your family. And it's a very different perspective today with the kids. And I'm not sure that there's not somewhere in between is not the right answer. This sort of Venn diagram you talk about. You know, what are you sort of like? What are you good at? You know, what has commercial value versus this concept of, you know, just pursue your passion. If I would have told my dad I'm pursuing my passion, he literally might have kicked me out of the house. I mean, nicely, maybe nicely, I don't even know. But what a fascinating, fascinating world that we live in today versus then and so forth. And God bless. Anyways, yes, Liz, it is always great to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us. You're always just fantastic. And can't wait to talk to you more about leadership and advice for young women entrepreneurs and men entrepreneurs and others. Thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on all your success. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Great to talk with you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.